showing to you as simple as a mirror could show you your face. This is verse 13:27. The faithful are mirrors of one another. And Robin Williams says that this is something that the prophet said. You remember that quote? I tell you that whenever Robin wants to say this is a holy word, this is not something to argue about, okay? This is something you should accept. So I would say, prophet said that. And normally he doesn't say which prophet. This is the saying of the prophet, because prophet is talking the truth received from God. So we say, this is that saying that you can be certain about, that believers or faithfuls. I don't know, explain me the difference between faithful and believer. Because none of it will give the word. Word is something else. It's mu'min. Mu'min is somebody who has iman, and iman means the feeling of amana, means feeling safe. That feeling of safety to us is the belief. Because believer feels safe. It's the state of out of fear, actually.
Security
is the word in Arabic and Persian for believing. Therefore here, I don't know, you cannot translate it that, but I'm always confused between faithful and believing. I prefer the believer, because faithful to me is something full of something, but believer is actually doing something. There is an act there. That's why I use that one.
You could say faith is passive and belief is
active. Exactly. Belief is inactive. Belief is active. Faith is passive. Therefore, I prefer the active one. Anyhow, remember, this is very interesting. He says, the faithful are mirror to one another. This saying is related from the prophet. And next verse. You have the blue glass before your eyes, for that reason the words repeat. That very famous thing that he will repeat later, and he talks about the color and colorlessness and things like that. He says, you have a filthy lenses in front of your eyes, therefore everything looks filthy to you. Take it off. That filthy one is not believing in believers. If you take it off, you will see a lot of believers, so you will see everything correctly. Anyhow, we talked about this act of eliminating your 100% believing power to include the other part of you, which has nothing to do with the power, but it's the best part of you. Have the big ear, receive the message, and act upon it. This is what the hair is about, right? Believing in something else. And suddenly you realize that, okay, you're ready to do something. And normally, you are the lion. You want to do something, you are in a rush. And you want to do it right away. Now, if I end my speech here, you say, yes. Now on, I will do this. I said, listen, little by little throw the water on the fire. Because that's how you will change. Those drastic measurements that you think about and you never do, because you make it 100%. In reality, this side could turn around to be the other side, but slowly, little by little. Improvement comes little by little. We believe in that. That's why we believe in the working of ourselves and zikr. What is zikr? You say something and you know that this saying will change just a little bit. But by repeating it and repeating it, you believe in the work of that. Everything works like that. When you're working on yourself, yes, the magic could completely turn you around in a split of a second. That could happen. We know it. Because we're talking about love, you know that. Suddenly you fall in love. Suddenly you're a different person. Good for you. But waiting for that to happen? No. We work. And we don't expect the magical stuff in our work. We want it to work, and that works gradually. So, little by little, through the water on the fire, that your firework becomes light. Oh, man of sorrow. And, okay, you accepted this one, so you cooled down a little bit. Then, Rumi said, cheer up. Don't try to change yourself immediately. Little by little, do it. The verse was 13:33.
So
4:34.
He's playing with Nur and Nar.
Exactly. He's playing with Nur and Nar because they are interchangeable, but gradually. If not, it will blow. Because if you throw suddenly water on the fire, you have a lot of smoke and ashes which will blind. Then he explained it like this, like that, like that. Okay, now suddenly, if you're okay, gradually, how do you do it? How nice I am. He said, oh, wait a minute, don't forget that even this yearning about becoming good is something that is given to us. Do not forget that you are not supposed to try to have a credit. Just be responsible. Without seeking, he has given us this search. Because whatever is in my heart, it started before me acting upon it and learning about it and everything. Rumi even talks about the spirit and say, okay, we didn't yearn the spirit, you gave it to us. We didn't ask for life, you give it to us. This is how it works. Everything is given to us. Just appreciate it and use it. And be happy. Suddenly everybody is happy. The hare will bring the news to everyone. And everybody is very happy because they escaped from the hand of the death. And the hare said, it's not like that. Don't rush. This is another gift. There was this inspiration to me. God gave it to me. And he explained everything else that I'm not going to go through them all, because you have to read it again and again. This is a very complicated conclusion. Suddenly, something good had happened, and everybody wants to have a party, and the rabbit becomes party pooper. We say, no, don't do that. Because it's not that. It's better that when something good happens, suddenly be grateful. Understand that, okay, this was a gift. This was a gift to do what? Why does he give you a gift of happiness after doing well? This is motivating again. He will give you that happiness to continue the good deed, to go on. Because take deeds, do not exalt in a kingdom bestowed in turns. Because it's the challenge. One step, okay, you have a great step, consequences here, be happy, but not too much. Because this is not the end of the day. The rest of the challenge is there. There is turn. Turns doesn't do the knockout. The word in Persian is more than turn. This is one single moment. There are other moments. It's coming again and again. Okay, you get rid of one part of the weakness. Good. Now it's the turn of the other one. Now you can do something good again and again. Not that don't be happy, but do not exceed the happiness. Do not let these happinesses provoke the ego to become arrogant, because the ego knows only one thing, black and white, ego-intended, suicidal or arrogant. Nothing is in between. And I say, don't do that. Because each step is good, but think about the next step. O kings, you have slain the outward enemy. There remains something worse within. Verse 13:73. We talked about something here. We talked about reality, believing in power, and trying to find a balance, right? And this is something that logically you could understand and do. Logically, you could understand it. Why do I claim that? The rabbit. If you open your ears, we're talking about it, so you could understand it. Now you understand what we're talking about, right? There is the big enemy in you, which by understanding you cannot deal with it. By understanding your ego, you will not deal with it. It takes more than that. It takes a lifetime work. Therefore, he said, listen, to slay this enemy, he's talking about nafs, clearly, right? About the ego. Verse 13:74. To slay his enemy is not the work of intelligence and reason. The inward lion is not subdued by the head. I mean, just by listening, your lion will not go away. If it was that simple, there are a lot of talks about this, and you will hear a lot. It's not that simple. Remember, the worst enemy is in here. This carnal self, nafs, because it's here. The verse is so clear that they couldn't eliminate the word. Nafs is there. Because that's the strongest enemy you have. This carnal enemy is hell. And hell is a dragon. Dragon which is not diminished by oceans. Remember, we made the lion fall in the well. Why? Because that water, this well was not a dry well, we know that. Do we?
Yeah.
How do we know that?
Because
we saw the reflection. He explained it, right? Okay. So this is the well that the lion should fall in. Should fall in the water, and the water will drown the lion. So okay. This lion, this belief in you, belief of power, could be eliminated by the water, but not the self, not the nafs. That nafs, even an ocean of water, will not kill it. Means knowledge will not save you from your ego. It could happen exactly the opposite. Knowledge will give you the best excuse to become arrogant. I know. Let's talk about the other enemy we have, which doesn't disappear with the knowledge. What should we do about it? If the knowledge will not do, what will you do? Is it a good question or not, honestly? For years you're sitting down here listening to all my analysis and good words of Rumi. Now you should know a little bit about it. Rumi said, listen, in you, this ego is the hell. It's like a dragon and will not be eliminated with the water. So knowledge will not cure it. This dragon will drink up seven seas and still is thirsty. Because, you know what? Knowledge will help this ego to grow up. It doesn't kill it. So what should we do?
Turn to God.
That was very easy to say, but
no,
very difficult to understand.